We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, we know what that music means. It's a Friday here. It is Friday, and we have football on Saturday. It is a football week, Joe DiBiase. We are ready to rock and roll. You got that music. You have a game tomorrow. We got Patrick Hammer giving us a weather check today. I mean, we are basically in regular season mode now.
Are you looking out over the field? You're at the stadium, right?
I am at the stadium. I'm actually in the media room, the press conference room. That's where I am right now.
Gotcha.
And the reason I'm here today, just so everybody knows, there's no press conference going on. I have a radio game broadcast production meeting a little bit later. So I'm here and I'll walk right into that. And that's, you know, just to kind of get buttoned up so we all have everything ready for tomorrow for our radio broadcast here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And of course, along the entire Buffalo Bills radio network. So I'm down here today. I'll be on the show and then I'm going to go into the production meeting. One of the things, though, I did find out today, I want to start with this just so everybody knows if you're listening to this tomorrow, because it is the first preseason game and you might be wondering about times for things. So the game is at 4 o'clock. It's a 4 o'clock kickoff tomorrow. Abbott Road in front of the stadium will shut down at 11 a.m. So you can't drive, you know, past, what is that, Southwestern right there?
Southwestern,
right?
Yep.
To get in front of, like, where the Bills store is. You can't drive basically in front of the Bills store after 11 a.m. if you're going that way. Parking lots will open at noon. 4 o'clock game, parking lots are going to open at noon if everybody's coming out here doing tailgating, things like that. Gates will open at 2 p.m., 2 hours before kickoff, gates will open. I know that was a change over the last year, actually, maybe 2 years, but I think it was last year the first time they did it where it was 2 hours instead of 1.5, and it really worked out well. So many more people were in their seats. They weren't having the congestion outside the stadium, which is great. I know it's not going to be a capacity crowd tomorrow. It's a preseason game, but gates opening at 2 p.m. is much better. But there's your timeline for tomorrow, so everybody knows. Abbott Road is going to shut down at 11 a.m. Parking lots are going to open at noon. Gates will open at 2 p.m., kickoff at 4 p.m. So we're ready, man. We're ready for football.
Exciting. How quickly will you go from excited the preseason's here to, okay, can we just start the regular season already? I think I'm like week two, usually, of the preseason for that.
I am, too. I'm usually there pretty quickly. But, you know, I try to keep things in a, you know, kind of in a box, so to speak, I guess, where, yeah, that's definitely like the fan in me and ready to go and all that. But the process of the broadcast and making sure we're all good and doing my job on a weekly basis, you know, I can't get too far ahead of myself. I have to kind of be dialed into what's happening on the field and knowing that and go from week to week. So I try to dial that back a little bit so I don't overdo it and get too far ahead of myself, because there's so many things that we're going to be watching for here in the preseason, which is what I want to talk about today. So we'll do that today here on the Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, thanks for tuning in. It is a Friday. The Bills open preseason football tomorrow. We're going to have Heather Prusak at 11:05 a.m. Heather, of course, at WIVB-TV. She's been out at training camp. She'll give her training camp observations, go through what she thinks about tomorrow, what she's seen so far out at camp. And Joe, we are going to have our buddy Patrick Hammer joining us today at 11:35 a.m. You're going to talk to him. I'll be headed out for that production meeting. And always good to talk to Pat about what's happening with the weather. Last year, he came in super handy throughout the season because of all that weather we had, crazy weather.
It was the craziest weather season maybe ever, at least that I remember. For the Bills, it was. I mean, the wind game, obviously New England's the one that stands out, but You had even the snow game against Atlanta, another cold weather game in the playoffs. Yeah, that was a brutal one. This year,
torrential downpour against the Texans.
Yeah,
I had to literally change my clothes at halftime.
Forgot about that. This year might this potential to be a bad weather season too, right? Because we've talked about it, like when the schedule came out, all their warm weather climates that they play in, like LA and Miami, are at the front part of the season. There's home games in December. There's Chicago. There's Cincinnati. So maybe we'll talk with Pat on that. Just the potential for where they're playing and when for this to be like a back-to-back season where there's a lot of bad weather games.
Yeah, all of the basically everything after November is in a cold weather city, essentially, right? I think one in a dome. That's it. That's in Thanksgiving
Detroit.
In Detroit.
Yep.
Cold weather city, but they're in a dome. Other than that, everything's in a colder weather city in the Northeast or whatever. So you're right. LA and Miami, the two warm weather places they go to, essentially, are both early in the season. Now, I, of course, knew that, you know, it was on the radar that the Bills could be the opening game in LA, and that's super cool. But, you know, personally, I kind of wanted it to be in November, December to go to LA. Same thing with Miami, to enjoy that. And that's happened before, but, you know, that's not happening this year. So we'll get with Patrick, and Joe will talk to him about the weather. You also have to ask him about Metallica last night.
Yes, I will absolutely do that. I actually went to the fair last night, and we're driving to the fair, and I'm like, what is all this traffic? I'm like, oh, duh, Metallica's playing tonight. That was dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Driving, I mean, not to go to the fair, but to leave at the exact time when everybody would have been trying to drive to the stadium to see Metallica. So it sounded like a great time, though. It's definitely a show I'd like to experience, or a show like it. Because I a lot of country concerts, hip-hop, like pop and whatnot. I don't think I've ever been to a concert where, would you consider Metallica like heavy metal? Like a heavy metal show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're rock. They're heavy metal for sure. Yeah, I would categorize them that. I think they're categorized as that. I told you, like, I would have loved to have gone to Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett. I mean, all four of those groups right in my wheelhouse. Love them all. I've seen Motley Crue. I went to Motley Crue at Darien Lake 10 years ago. And even then, Vince Neil's voice was not good. So they pumped up the music. But I didn't care. It was literally the novelty of being there. And then I saw Def Leppard when they came in maybe 2017, 2018, right around there. They were at the arena. I'd never seen Poison. I'd never seen Joan Jett. But I would have definitely gone to that as well.
Hmm. They're still all kicking it out there, huh? By the way, in their 60s. Just still going?
I know, right?
I asked Jeremy this the other day. Like, I have no idea who's going to be doing stadium shows in 20 years. Like, it's because everyone that does stadium shows now, it's either like a Garth Brooks, like a country artist, or it's bands that were first becoming popular like in the 80s. Like, who in 20 years is going to be? Maybe it will still be Metallica and Def Leppard in their 90s going out there, maybe. But I wonder, you know, who that'll be, because it's a lot of nostalgia at these big shows that you're seeing.
Well, you know, I'm a big U2 fan. We've talked about that before, right? I mean, like, I really like U2. I've seen them, five times in four different cities. It's great. Like, whenever they're on tour, I try to go somewhere. And even them, like, U2 now is 62. Like, Bono is 62 years old. They're in their 60s. And they're back in studio. They're putting out another album maybe within the year, and they're going back on tour next year. So, yeah, this is like, it's just every couple of years you see, you don't think about that until you kind of think about it, right? Oh, my God, they've been around a while. I mean, U2 was literally like touring. Their big Joshua Tree tour was in the 80s when I was in early high school. And they played in Buffalo. This is the story I think, you know, people probably know, a lot of people listening know. Believe it or not, U2 played in Buffalo the night John Lennon was killed in 1980 or 1981. They were in Buffalo playing. That's how long they've been touring.
Hmm. Wow.
Pretty amazing. And yeah, and they're in the same group when I think about the age. You know, Bruce Springsteen, I think he's still out there, right? Touring.
Yeah, he's still going.
Not young anymore.
It's probably, you know what it's really going to be? It's not going to be bands in 20 years. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be Taylor Swift. It's going to be Beyonce. It's going to be like these individual artists, I think, that are probably, that's probably going to be what it is. Maybe the day of the legendary band is past us.
Bruce Springsteen, 72 years old. He will be 73 in just over a month. Pretty wild to think about right there. I've seen him in concert. He puts on a good show, plays for a very long time, doesn't even take a break. Joe, I know you're not going to be part of the broadcast tomorrow. I think you got something going on, but when you normally come to the stadium for games, how long before the game do you get here?
Well, since, you know, the show gets going, the pregame show, countdown to kickoff that I'm a part of, gets going at 10 on game days. With that being like a heavy period for traffic, I'll usually get to the stadium for a 1 o'clock game, I should say, for, you know, probably around like 9:15 is what I'll aim for, just to make sure I have as much, you know, wiggle room as I need if there's really, really bad traffic. So yeah, like what, about 3 hours before kickoff is probably it's probably about it for me. About 4 hours before kickoff, actually.
Yeah, about 4 hours. I'm usually here around 8 o'clock for the same reason. I try to do a radio hit with you guys. I get here, I get things situated. I try to get here 8 o'clock, also because of the traffic, and I don't want to wait too long. You don't want to be in a situation where something happens and you're stuck. I like to be places early anyway. When we're on the road, you know, I get on one of the buses that shuttles staff and media from the team hotel over to the stadium. And generally, that bus that I take pulls into that stadium at 9 a.m. Now, in that particular instance, I don't have to worry about traffic, right? I mean, the team bus, and they have a escort. They get to the stadium. But in that situation, I get there around 9 a.m. But it is interesting. You know, people like to kind of have their routines and go about it differently. So, you know, just going back to what I said earlier, parking lots open at noon tomorrow. That's 4 hours before the game. I know people like to do the RV thing, and they come here. But, you know, it's great. It's going to be great. Tomorrow's going to be a great day. And just a spoiler alert, I think Pat's going to give you a great weather report today from what I've seen. It's going to be a cool day out there tomorrow, right? Are you excited? I mean, this is the start of what should be a really excellent Buffalo Bills season. There's no guarantees. They are the betting line favorite to win the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to kind of see where this team goes, what they can do. More so, Joe, maybe just excited to get back into the stadium and see people and, you know, have that experience again with fans.
Yeah. Speaking of them being the favorite, did you see from me yesterday that they are now favored in every single game that's up for this season? That includes the opener. There's been movement there. They're now favored by 2.5 at the Rams. They're favored by 1 at Baltimore, and they're favored by 1.5 at Kansas City. Like, they're now expected to, by the betting lines, to win every game. They obviously, by probabilities, wouldn't be expected to go 17-0. But it's weird, right? Like, when fans show up tomorrow, we talked about this at camp a little bit, that there's like a different vibe in the air, that like, this is just, we're hanging out, we're having a good time, and we're not really worried about much right now. And I think that's going to be tomorrow. You just kind of show up and watch the team. Just like, that's it. Not worry about, you know, like, is the quarterback going to be good, like we have so many times before. Worry about holes around the roster, because they don't really have any holes around the roster. So tomorrow might be, you know, like the first time fans show up to a preseason game in a long time and just kind of hang out, watch it, and not really, you know, not be trying to like figure anything out. Like, there's some things you want to watch for, like different competitions, the safety position, if Hyde and Poyer don't play, which I think is the expectation. How does Kyer Elam look? There are little things, but yeah, Sal, I think it's a whole nother atmosphere, I think, with this Bills team this year than what we've been accustomed to, even maybe in the past 3-4 years since McDermott and Bean got here.
Last Baltimore Ravens extended their preseason winning streak to, what, 21 games, right? 21 games, 21. One in a row.
Bills are at 8.
23-10 over the Tennessee Titans. I think the Bills have the second longest streak. I'm not positive on that, but it feels like they do. They have won 8 in a row. The last time they lost, we talked about it yesterday, the Cincinnati Bengals, when they came to town, Andy Dalton, the return to him after the drought was broken. Of course, they didn't have any preseason game in 2020 due to the pandemic, but it has been 8 in a row. And I think a common thread is two common threats. Just two organizations that do a great job of scouting and developing. The bottom of their roster is better than most teams' bottom of their roster. And that helps out when you're playing in these preseason games. I think, they play the game to win, basically, right? You're trying to, it's not the end-all, be-all to win, but the culture of that matters. The culture of at least trying to get people and you get your players and everybody in your organization on the same page of, you know, trying to win the game. You're not just throwing it away at the end. You're doing what you have to do to try and win. And that, you owe it to the players who are out in the field to do that. They're competing. They're trying for jobs, and they want to win, you know. So I think that kind of all comes together. Now, of course, there's some luck along the way. There's bounces along the way. There's a big comeback against the Chicago Bears along the way with A.J. McCarron. I think the Bills may have won in a last-second field goal in one of those Detroit games over the last couple of years. You know, those kinds of things for sure happen. But as you are going through that process, you get to see some of these players, obviously, who are fighting for roster spots, excuse me, and are going to show up and be the guy that we're all talking about. I looked last night, like I didn't watch much of the Giants-Patriots game. I watched a little bit of it. I woke up today to look at the stats, Joe. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor, you know he's going to play. He threw for 129 yards. How about our guy Antonio Williams, the leading rusher? Remember him for the Bills? 9 carries, 61 yards, 6.8 yards a carry. I guarantee you Antonio Williams is getting the same kind of love in New York today that he got from Bills fans, except for the fact that everybody knows they have Saquon Barkley in front of him, so obviously he's not eating into those carries.
He's not eating those carries. There's definitely more an opportunity for him to earn a roster spot there. The Bills, even though they've not had like a Barkley, like a premier like number one running back, with Moss and Singletary and last year was Breida, before that Yeldon, it's always been very hard to carve out a roster spot on this running back group. The Giants, like, behind Barkley, it's Breida, but as the number two, and that's kind of it. So, yeah, Williams might find a home in the NFL, and, like, definitely, if you're playing any daily fantasy in the preseason, he might be a good idea. Did you see the other former Bill that had a carry in that game last night? Did not know.
I did not.
Did not know Robert Foster is still hanging out in the league.
Oh, Robert Foster. Robert Foster.
Who obviously Joe Shane and Dable, Brian Dable would be familiar with him too, from obviously that rookie season for Allen.
Was it like an end around? He had a 9 yard carry, I see.
I think so. I didn't see the play. I just saw his name on there. But I would guess so. So yeah, a couple former Bills in that game yesterday.
If you're a Giants fan, let me ask you this. If you're a Giants fan, are you mad that Saquon Barkley even played last night? Like, why are you doing this?
I would be. What do you need to see from Saquon Barkley, who, by the way, has had injury problems 3 years in a row now? So, yeah, for me, especially the running back position, I don't need to see anything. Anything. Like, I would think that way about the Bills tomorrow. What don't I know about Devin Singletary at this point? What don't I know about Zach Moss? Cook is different. James Cook, to me, is a little bit different because he's a rookie, and he has not played in the NFL, and there's learning and there's growth that he needs, the steps he needs to take. But yeah, when you have a veteran running back like that, those guys only have a finite amount of carries in their bodies. Like when you hit age 30 and you hit, there's a number out there. It's like 12, whatever the number of carries is. That like there's a wall that a lot of running backs hit. Those guys only have so many carries. Giving even five in the preseason, I don't know. I think it's a little bit of a waste at that position specifically. But again, for the Bills' sake, like, and I think we'll get this, Sal. Like, I think James Cook is the one that, like, all right, yeah, no, play him. Like, I'm good playing him at least a little bit because still trying to figure out, I think, how you want to use him and what his role is going to be.
Did you see the stat line for the Patriots receivers?
I know Tyquan Thornton caught a touchdown, but past that, I do not. I did not see it.
He only had two catches. One was a touchdown. He had 9 yards receiving. They had three players with over 60 yards receiving, the Patriots, and none of them are players that you would guess necessarily because it's preseason. But they had a player, Christian Wilkerson, who had 8 catches for 99 yards last night.
Mm-hmm.
Then Trey Nixon, 4 catches for 81, and let me say his name right, Lil Jordan Humphrey. That's his name he's listed as, Lil Jordan Humphrey. 6 catches for 62 yards and a touchdown. They had some receivers that had nice days, and that's with Zappe and Brian Hoyer throwing to them. Mac Jones did not play at all.
So that was just a little interesting
stat line from those receivers.
Little curious, right, that with all the turmoil at Patriots camp and how sloppy it's been, right? Like the type of turmoil that it's been. Sloppy, confusion, frustration, and that's coming with a new offensive coordinator, maybe co-offensive coordinators, because it looked like yesterday Patricia and Joe Judge were both calling plays at different times on offense. So new coordinators, new scheme, new a lot of things. And they decided, yeah, we're not going to play Mac Jones. Like, you might think that might be the situation most in the league, that you need reps in the preseason. And I'm not here to criticize that. Maybe it's just another sign that these teams just don't think the preseason's all that valuable as a rehearsal anymore. But New England kind of told you that last night, didn't they? But it is strange. Like, I would have guessed that they would have played Mac Jones given what their camp has sounded like.
And I'll even say this. I think, if I remember right, I think Belichick has been a guy who does play guys like in the preseason. Like, he doesn't give them all off. You know what I mean? He values the reps they get. So it is even more interesting from that standpoint that that happened. We'll see what they do preseason game number two. Just putting a bow on last night a little bit, I guess the story in the Tennessee-Baltimore game outside of Baltimore keeping that streak alive would be for Tennessee, Malik Willis. He actually played. He went 6 of 11 for 107 yards, but he also ran 5 times for 38 yards. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's a very good athlete, you know, 7.6 yards a carry. He came out of the game. I saw a quote today from Vrabel.
Yeah.
He was asked, like, why did you take him out? And he said, well, we wanted him to throw the ball, and he didn't. So then we put Logan Woodside in.
He pulled him after maybe it was mid-drive on one where he didn't throw the football. And okay. I saw an interesting stat on that from last night, kind of in response to Vrabel saying that Malik Willis on his rush attempts last night averaged 7.6 yards per rush attempt, 7.6 yards yes. when he scrambled. And Logan Woodside, who came in after, threw 2 interceptions and averaged 4.8 yards per pass attempt. So, wow. If we were in Tennessee, what would we be saying about that? Maybe a little concerning of is this the right team for this quarterback? When, like, I would compare it to how the Bills went. I know it's a bit different, obviously, because Allen was a first-round pick, and like you knew plan was he's going to be the franchise quarterback. Malik Willis, third-round pick, maybe they'd be open to him becoming that, but they're not probably planning on that happening. With Allen, it felt like Sal, the Bills kind of let him do his thing when it came to running. Like, just, you know what, play your game. We're not going to micromanage you and like yell at you when you come to the sidelines because you ran for 6 yards and you could have thrown it for 10. Like, just be you. Like, we'll work on the passing as time goes on, and eventually that did happen. With Willis, though, I don't know, when you pull him like that, aren't you making him second-guess himself? Because now I would imagine the next time Malik Willis is on the field, he might look and see open field where he can scramble for 10 yards and might second-guess himself, Sal, and hesitate and think, ooh, do I have to double-check to make sure anyone's open 15 yards down the field?
That's a great point. I didn't even think about it from those terms, but you're right, because now I think back to, you remember the video that the NFL tweeted out and we talked about, like, Rod Streeter and the thump when Ray Ray caught the ball yes. and Josh's first preseason action. And if you go back and watch that video, so the NFL account tweeted it out and how Josh Allen, his first preseason, what it looked like. And I remember, and I watched it, and I said, oh, I remember these plays. Watch that video, and there are definitely plays in there where Allen, like, he drops back to pass, and he looks to run quickly. Like, it's like, okay, everything's gone. I gotta go. And they didn't take that away from him. You're right about that. It sounds like that's what they took away from Willis. No, you can't do that. You got to stay in the pocket and go through your reads, basically. And I think Allen is better served for having gone through that when saying, like, at the time, like, hey, that's the case. So, yeah, you're going to get better at getting your reads in. You're going to get better. You're not going to look to run first. But I will tell you, Joe, I think that if you go back and watch it and then think of Allen now, the dramatic difference in his game. Yes, he still runs. He definitely took off very, very early in those situations in that preseason.
Yeah, and you know, maybe it'll be different. If Willis gets into a game, that's a better offensive line than what the Bills had when Allen showed up as a rookie. It's a better receiving core. Like, there's more to work with. That was part of the story of Allen in his rookie year, was sometimes he had to run because he had Vlad Dukas starting at guard. And no one, and you had Kelvin Benjamin. Like, no one was getting open down the field. So a lot of times he had to run out of necessity, but I think the freedom they gave him, you know, and the trust they put in him kind of allowed him to develop into the quarterback he's become. And I would not expect Willis becomes Josh Allen, but while it wasn't a first round pick, it wasn't nothing. Like, a third round pick is not nothing. And he is a quarterback where I think you have to consider, or at least try to develop him the right way into a special type of talent. Because while there, you even saw it last night, he was very trigger happy leaving the pocket. He was inaccurate at times, and the mechanics were kind of all over the place. But you also saw, wow, look how fast he is. Look how elusive he is running. Look how far he can throw the football. He had one bomb down the field that I think had at least 50 plus air yards on it that he completed. You saw a lot of the physical traits that had draft pundits talking about him as a first-round pick leading up to the draft. Like, you saw the raw ability. And if I'm Tennessee, I'm not forcing him in even maybe this year, because they're probably competing for the AFC South. But I don't know. I think I'd want to get a look at that at some point. I'd want to get a look at Willis, and I'd really want to be trying hard, I think, to develop him as best I can, because, again, because of his physical ability, Sal, the sky's the limit. The sky's not likely, but I think the sky's the limit with him.
803-0550, 888-550-2550. If you want to jump on board, what are you looking for the preseason starting tomorrow against the Colts? When we come back, Joe, you might have already looked at a lot of preseason stats, you know, because you're on the show with Jeremy and you guys do this stuff. I don't know if you did from the last couple of years. I want to ask you if you remember some things from the last couple of years, but also kind of tie it into what we expect this year when we come back. So don't go cheating right now, okay? Don't go look at those. I'm going to bring up some preseason stats from last year for the Bills. We'll kind of rewind it a little bit. We'll take a look back last year, and I want to kind of play a little game of what we expect this year as far as some numbers are concerned and who we expect to get those numbers. We'll do that. Sal Capaccio down here in the media room at One Bills Drive. See Joe DiBiase in our Amherst studios. It's the Extra Point Show. It's a Friday. The Bills open preseason tomorrow in Buffalo. We'll be back after this timeout on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.